Each week, what we're going to do is have a little story from someone's life of how they became a Christian. And I'll tell you a little bit about mine this week. But then, in following weeks, we'll get some people to come and tell their stories. And they might have some people to sing a little song as well, maybe, if it's not too embarrassing. But anyway, there's a little book you get with the course here that sort of takes you through each week, and you can sort of refer to it and look back, see what you've done. So even today's talk's going to be on there. I became a Christian when I was 17, 18. And I was brought up in Teesside, in Billingham, and then over here in Middlesbrough. Brought up Catholics, actually. We went to church when I was a kid. But we didn't really believe, I don't think, you know. We sort of went just because it was what we did. And then when we're teenagers, you know what it's like, you stop going. And when I was about 13, my mum got cancer and she died when I was 16. So like when from 13 to 16, she was just ill all the time and my dad was looking after her. So there was no big, we just didn't go to church. There was no one was sending us or making us go. So we just didn't go, me and my brother. And then it was sort of the punk rock era. You know, the late 70s, early 80s, we were all punks, you know, we were all a gang of punks and into all that, you know, into rebellion and anarchy. Couldn't spell it, but we could do a little A with the circle on people's garages. And then one night, about 17, a mate of mine, a lad in this gang, he watched this film, The Omen, about the end of the world. Might have seen it. It's like it's meant to be a bit of a horror movie, you know, but it's about the end of the world anyway. And at the end of this film, apparently there's a little bit of the Bible mentioned. And he's watching this film late on a night on his own, and he thinks, "Oh, the Bible! I didn't know that told you about the end of the world. I'll find out what's going to happen at the end of the world." And he went and he had a little Gideon's New Testament he'd been given at school, so he started reading the Bible. And he started reading about Jesus, you know, the life of Jesus, the words of Jesus. And that sort of captivated him, actually. I mean, he didn't dare tell us in the gang what he was doing. But at the end of every night, after he'd been out with us doing whatever, he'd be going home reading the Bible and reading the Bible and reading the Bible, reading about Jesus. And he got so captivated by the person of Jesus and what he said and his life that he prayed, probably the first real prayer he'd ever prayed in his life. And he told me later, he actually got down on his knees in his bedroom, which is, if you knew this lad at the time, you'd know that was a miracle in itself. But he got down on his knees and said, "Jesus, if this is real, what I'm reading about, prove it to me, show me." And he began to change then. I mean, he didn't become a Christian at that moment, but he definitely began to change. And I noticed a change, because he was my best mate. And when the other lads had gone home, he'd stand on the bottom step of our flat. We lived above a shop. We owned an off-license, my dad, in Woodrow Avenue in Martin. It's still there, actually. You know, that used to be a VG shop, and then it was a winter sliding. And we lived in that flat above there. And Watty, my mate, used to say to me, "Oh, Marty, do you think it is the end of the world? And I've been reading the Bible, and do you think there is a heaven? Do you think there is a hell? Do you think there is a God?" And I thought, oh, he's had too many magic mushrooms, you know. I thought, he's gone over the top this time. But the more he kept on about it, the more it sort of was bugging me and making me feel uncomfortable, you know. So I started, like, mocking him and turning the gang against him a bit, really, and thought he'd lost it. But the funny thing is, I couldn't get what he was saying out of my mind, you know. He said, "I started reading the Bible. Have a read for yourself, Marty. See what you think." And I said, "Nah, I'm not interested, I'm not interested." But on a night, lying on my bed on my own, I didn't feel so hard, you know. When punk rockers take off the chains, put the pyjamas on, flatten their hair and get in bed, don't feel so hard. No, I'd be lying in bed thinking, what if it is the end of the world? You know, this was like the early 80s when everyone was talking about nuclear war. Don't know whether you might remember. Some of you are old enough, but, you know, there was stuff on telly about the day after the bomb and all this. It was like the bomb dropping was a big thing when I was a kid. So the end of the world was like a possibility, you know. And he was saying, do you think it is the end of the world? And I thought, well, if it is the end of the world, what if I died, what would happen to me? And my mum was dying, and I thought, what does happen when you die? And, you know, what's it all about? So anyway, I had a little look at the Bible myself. That's why I'm studying today. But I waited till my brother and my dad had gone out, because there's no way I would have looked at the Bible in front of them, you know. And we had a Bible, a family Bible, that was on the shelf, never touched, you know, next to about four of the books that we owned, like Out to Cook with a Wok, Flower Arranging Bible, you know, and a crossword thing. And then and I waited till I'd gone out, picked off this Bible, took it in the kitchen. It had a little open. I opened it about three or four times that night on the kitchen table, and every time I opened it, it was relevant, you know. It was exactly what I'd been talking to Watty about, or what I'd been thinking about, or what I'd been worried about. Or it was all about the end of the world and about God, you know, heaven and hell and Jesus and the things he'd talked to me about. And that started me off really thinking, oh, was that a coincidence? And how come so many coincidences? And so I think that just started me up. Well, it must have, I wouldn't be able to. That started me off. It sowed a seed, you know, where me and him began to search and go to church. Started going to church again, sitting in the back of churches and thinking, is this it? Looking around thinking, this is absolutely boring and this can't be it. And maybe there's nothing, maybe there's something. We were up and down for about 18 months looking, searching. There wasn't any Alpha courses them days, would have been all right. But we finally met a bunch of real Christians, bumped into these people who were just, there was something about them, they were different. They were quite a bit older than us actually, but they seemed younger. They were just full of life and joy and fun, and they seemed to know what they were talking about. They weren't like guessing. They had a relationship with God, with Jesus, and they, you know, they loved us and welcomed us into their house, and that taught us a bit about Jesus. And then, you know, and then really that was sort of how I became a Christian. So it was a slow process for me. And then we heard about the Holy Spirit, and how, you know, these people were all filled with the Spirit of Jesus and with power, and, you know, just all was real for them. And so that was it. You know, that was a while ago now. And, you know, I've been growing in my relationship with God, hopefully, I hope, ever since. And I think the big difference for me was, I mean, if you'd have said to me, you know, when I was young, 17, you're going to spend your life telling people about Jesus, which I have actually, I'd have just laughed in your face, because it was the last thing I wanted, you know. I wanted life, not death. And I just looked utterly boring to me, anything to do with church and God. And actually it can look like that, you know, because actually for a lot of people it is just like that. It's just dead religion, it's just something they do. But actually beyond that, there is the real thing, you know, which is actually to know God, have a relationship with Jesus. And there's nothing like that, you know. That's life changing. Absolutely amazing and awesome. Makes life worth living and helps you in every area of your life, you know. And I've, like, obviously, since 17, 18, I've lived my life with God, so I'm not telling you from sort of, from theory. You know, I'm sharing with you from reality. And you know, my job is an evangelist, to tell people about Jesus, so I've spoken to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people and lots of different nations and all over this country. And, you know, I've never met anyone in the past 26 years. Sorry, it's Jack Bauer calling. It was Andy's sister's phone. Mum broke, so he gave me it. That's why it's pink. I just want you to know, I'll just switch this off. Sorry, I'll just switch this off. And so anyway, I'd just encourage you to do this course. I would, to do the whole thing. You know, of all the things you'll ever do in your life, you know, you might learn to speak French, or all the courses you'd ever do, you know, how to cook, like, whoever, or whatever you do, do this one, because the Alpha course is just finding out the meaning of life. And actually, if there's anything that can connect you to God and give you a relationship with God, it's Alpha. And that's why it's so popular, actually, because it's just about Jesus. It's so simple. You know, I don't know whether you do know, but the Alpha course itself is unbelievably popular. You know, this is one of five I'm involved in this week. in Teesside, but there's loads happening all over the country. There's millions of people in Britain have done the Alpha Course and are doing the Alpha Course, and it's all over the world as well. You know, they do it in Estonia. I say Estonia because Chris is from Estonia, which is just next to South Bank here. But anyway, so it's all about Jesus, you know, and it says in those little notes there in your book that, you know, Jesus claimed things that no one else has claimed. I mean, he's absolutely unique, Jesus. He is, you know. Sometimes people think, oh, it's just like Muhammad, Buddha, Jesus, all these religious leaders. They're all the same. Who do you follow? Who do you pick? But actually, some things about Jesus are absolutely unique. That no one has ever claimed, for instance, what he claimed about himself. Outrageous claims to be the only saviour of people, of men and women, to be the only one who can forgive people's sins, to be the only one who can lead you to the Father, to God, to be the only one who can take you to heaven. That's what he claimed. Not to be like one among many. He claimed to be the only one, which is, you know, today is almost offensive, isn't it, for us lot, because we like to think, well, let's just all get on together and everyone's right. Well, in stark contrast to that, Jesus said, no, everyone isn't right. I am. Which is different from the meek and mild Jesus you might think of. This is the real one, the historical Jesus. He said things like this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a pretty big thing to say, you know, I am the way. You know, and I've found over the years him to be a good guide through life, to be the right way. You know, lots of people in life don't know the way. It's true, you know, they don't know where they're going or why. They don't know who they are, where they've come from, where they're going. Sometimes spend your whole life trying to answer that question. Who am I? You know, family tree and find your dad and who am I and where am I going and why? And why am I doing what I'm doing? And often, you know, for most people, the truth is, scary truth, it's just survival. We don't think too far ahead. We just think for the next load of shopping and or for the Christmas, get through Christmas and, well, I'm just living for the next programme coming on telly. Or the next holiday, maybe. Or if I get a bigger house, I'll be laughing. But then you get a bigger house and you're not laughing. Or then life starts to break down, you know. With marriages, relationships, families break down. And people end up in absolute despair, broken by life. Well, you know, there's some good news, and that is Jesus. Jesus knows the way. And wherever we are in life, when you connect to him, he's like finding a sat-nav, you know, home, wherever you are, you put home in, it'll take you home. That's like Jesus, you know. When you come to Jesus, when you come to his love and what he did on the cross, you find the way home, you find the way to heaven. It's a true story of a girl who got lost in London, you know, during the Second World War when there was all the bombing going on. And she'd been under the tubeway station. She came out and there was devastation everywhere and couldn't remember where her street was because the city just looked so different, and she was a bit lost, and a man met her and was trying to help her find the way back. And then he was trying to say, you know, do you know where this building is and where this shop is and where the, and she was saying no. And then she remembered this big stone cross that was at a crossroads near a house, and which was still standing. And she said to the bloke, do you know where the big stone cross is? And he said, yeah, I know where that is. It's still standing. And she said, well, take me to the cross because I can find my way home from there. And that became like a famous saying, you know, take me to the cross because I can find my way home from there. And that's true, you know. If you can find your way to the cross, if you can find your way to Jesus, you'll be all right. You'll find your way from there home to heaven, to God, and to peace and happiness. You will. It's just a fact. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the right way, I'm the way to God. You know, these days it's like popular to think there's loads of ways to God. And if God was a city, that might be true. You know, they used to say all roads lead to Rome. Or you could say many roads lead to London, which they do. But could you say many roads lead to the Queen? Not really. You could say it, but it's not true. I can go and see the Queen whenever I like. Well, can you? Really? You couldn't? You could drive to London. You could park outside the palace. But you wouldn't see the Queen. Not unless you knew someone who knew someone. To see the queen, you'd have to know someone on the inside of that gate. And when Jesus says, I am the only way to the Father, no one comes to the Father except through me. What he means is, I'm the guy on the inside. I'm the gate opener. I'm the one who'll bring you to God. And without me, you won't get there. You'll only get to the front door. You know, I am the way. And then he said, I am the truth. You know, another popular thing that people say these days is it doesn't matter what you believe. You might have heard that. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Which sounds nice. But actually, is it right? What about if you're sincerely wrong? You can be sincere about what you believe, but be way off the mark. I mean, Adolf Hitler was sincere about what he believed. He believed he was right, but we know he was dead wrong. Other people, you might not be as off the mark as that, but you can believe something firmly and be dead wrong. Or you can believe something for a wacky reason. Oh, I believe when you die, that's it. Why? Why do you believe that? Well, our mum always said that. I mean, it can be something like that. Or our Auntie Joan always said, or worse, you read it in an agony aunt's column. Or some celebrity believes in Buddha, so you do, I believe in Buddha or something. And where do you know what? It really is important what you believe. Jesus said it's important. He said, I am the truth. I'm the truth. What a statement. You know, not I'm the religious section in the library. I'm the whole library. I'm the truth about you. I'm the truth about life. I'm the truth about God. Jesus said, I'm the mirror, the accurate mirror. When you come to me, you'll see things the way they really are. Jesus said, look, of all the ideas out there about life, actually I'm the right one. That's a massive statement. No prophet or religious leader has ever said anything like that. Of all the ideas and philosophies about life out there, about what life's about, I'm the right one. That's why he got in so much trouble. You know, he was offensive and outrageous what he said, but he did say it. I'm the truth. And you know, when he said that, when people say, I know the truth, it sounds big-headed, doesn't it? But with Jesus, it always means relationship. So when people say, oh yeah, I believe in God, I already believe in God, but that's not enough. What's needed is a relationship. You know, I'm married to Margaret, and I knew Margaret when she was in sixth form college. I didn't know her personally, but I knew of her. And if you'd said to me, do you know Margaret Molloy? I could have said, yeah, I know Margaret Molloy. You know, I could have said where she lived. I could have said certain things about her. But then I married her and I've lived my life with her. So now when people say, do you know Margaret? I say, oh, yeah, I know Margaret. I don't know about her. I know her through and through. I know her. And you know, when a Christian says, I know God, I know Jesus, they don't mean I know about him, I've read about him. They mean I know him. I live with him. I'm in relationship with him. I'm in. I'm on the inside of that gate, which is an awesome thing. That's knowing the truth, not knowing facts. Facts that make you right. You know what? I mean, part of the truth is that none of us are right. We're all wrong. You know, we all sin. We all get it wrong. But knowing the truth is knowing a person who is the truth. Jesus, I'm the truth. If you know me, you know the truth. Amazing. And lastly, he said this, I am the life. You know, who isn't looking for happiness? Who isn't looking for the good life? Who doesn't want to live a life that's secure and safe and happy and then die with less regrets than you would have had and going into eternity with a bit of hope, thinking, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I'm not dying in blackness, you know, going into the grave, not knowing. I'm going to God and I know I am. You know, I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm right with God. And that's just awesome. And Jesus said, look, I'm the one who gives you that life. I came that you may have life, eternal life, and life in all fullness. You know, when he said that word life, it was a Greek word, zoe, and it meant multicoloured life. You know, I am the life, means life in multicolour. You know, I still remember getting our first colour telly when we were in Billingham. we were a TV family, you know, we just lived around the telly, us just watched it every night after school. Our whole family life was just about telly. I can't ever remember having a meal around the table or anything like that. Just came in, put it on from school, get a big glass of milk, get me tea in front of the telly, and just stayed there, did. And so we loved telly, so it was a big deal when we got our first colour telly. I remember my dad taking out this little roundy screen, black and white thing, and bringing in this massive 28-inch screen it was. Monster of a telly, about that wide, wood, with big metal legs and metal balls on the bottom of these legs. Wheeled it in, dead heavy. It had buttons like that. He plugged it in. I remember, I was 8 years old, but I remember like it was yesterday. Plugging it in, switching it on. Waited for it to warm up. Remember, we had to wait for it to warm up. And it blinked a couple of times then. Wow, colour, telly. The difference was massive. Difference between black and white and colour. There was just no going back, you know. And that's exactly how Jesus describes life with him. You know, it's life. It's your life. Still, you're still you. But you're a different you. You're a multicoloured you. And he's saying, look, there's another dimension to you. There's another dimension to life. It's a spiritual dimension. Before you meet Jesus, you're spiritually dead. You're dead to God. Well, I've prayed and no one's ever spoke to me. That's because you're dead to God. But when you come to Jesus, he gives you this life. You become alive spiritually. And then guess what? Then you pray and you get answers. Then you ask and you get responses. You're in. You're in that gate. You're in. And that's life with multicolour. You know, we're not just pieces of meat. We're not to be abused and drugged and battered and die of cancer. We're not. We're more than that. We're not even just emotions, where we live our whole life on how we feel. I've got to feel up. I've got to keep happy. I've got to be right. I've got to find the perfect woman, the perfect man. Please make me happy, make me complete. No, we're not just emotions either. There's another thing. We're spiritual people. We have spirit. We have a soul. And only when all three of those are alive, all the buttons are on, and you're alive, that's full life. That's what Jesus meant when he said, look, I've come that you may have life, and have it in fullness. Not just physical life, not just emotional life. Because none of that satisfies. Only God can satisfy your soul. And that spiritual life is what actually satisfies us. So, you know, every week we'll have a little look at Jesus, what he said and what he did, who he is and why he died and all those questions. And then the course will get real practical. So it's literally a how-to course, how to have a relationship with God, how to speak to him, how to hear him, how to get to know him. And you know what, in 10 weeks, you can walk out of here like hundreds and hundreds of other people have and are knowing God, have a relationship with God. So it's just awesome. So I just want to encourage you to keep coming, and we'll keep coming, and we'll keep sharing more stuff, and we'll bring some people as well and tell you what's happened in their lives, some of their life-changing stories. Amen. Is that okay? Thank you. We'll leave it there for today. And then I think we're going to have a little time together, aren't we, discussing and chatting each week. So you've got a bit of time to do that.